nagging at mealtimes.
Why do you interfere in household matters? Don't people make mistakes? Who is likely to make mistakes? Those who work or those who do not do anything?
The ones who work.
So, do not point out any mistakes in her cooking. If the kadhi, that is soup dish made from yogurt, is too salty, you don't have to comment on it. Put aside what you do not like and eat the rest. Men have a habit of pointing out their wives' mistakes and telling them off. Men have developed that habit. However, these ladies are no angels either. Nowadays, family life is synonymous to the Cold War between America and Russia. It has become America versus Russia. That is why I make you understand how to live like a family. These conflicts go on in every household. If the food is not to your liking, can you not refrain from making a comment? If there is too much salt in the curry, can you not refrain from saying anything? Don't you think she will realize it herself? Is it necessary for you to comment about it? And even when you have guests for dinner, you don't let them dine peacefully. Now, why should you do such a thing? When she tastes the food herself, she will find out, without you blowing your horn.
But if the kadhi is salty, then you have to say it is salty.
Then your life too will become salty. You are insulting her by telling her it is too salty. That is not being a family.
You can say it to your own people, but you cannot say it to others, can you?
So you can abuse your own?
If you tell her, she would be sure to do a better job the next time.
Whether she does a good job or not, such comments are not needed. Why do such things happen? It is neither under the control of the maker, nor is it under the control of the person who comments on the food. Under whose control is all this? I know the cause behind everything. Have you become a little wiser? You will be, won't you? You have to become absolutely wise. Your wife should say, "I want a husband like you in every life." A lady once told me, "Dada, if I have to have a husband, I would like this very same one every time." So far, she is the only one who has said this to me. I remember her. You cannot play games with women. Why do you have to criticize her cooking? Why do you have to comment if the vegetables get cold or if the dal does not have the right spices? Why do you keep on nagging in this manner? If you speak in this manner once a year, then it is okay. But why do so every day? Whether the dal is bad or the vegetables are too cold, it is all dependent upon the laws of nature. If it happens frequently, then you may want to say calmly, "These vegetables taste good when they're hot." When you say it in this way, she will get the hint. Nobody at my home knows Dada's likes and dislikes. Do you think the preparations and the cooking of a meal are under the control of the person cooking it? It all comes together on a plate by what vyavasthit shakti, that is scientific circumstantial evidences, dictates for the one receiving it. You should not interfere in this.
Need a husband, not a boss.
There is nothing wrong in looking at her closely before marrying her. You can look, provided she is going to remain the same her whole life. Will she remain the same as the day you first saw her? Would she not change? And when she changes, you will not be able to handle it. You will feel suffocated. Then where will you go? You have entered a trap. Why get married? The reason for marriage is so that you can go out and work for money while she works at home. In this way, your married life proceeds well and you can practice religion. If she wants a couple of children, go ahead and settle that problem. And then, after that, delve into the higher aspects of life. Instead, what do? You insist on being her boss. You silly man, why are you trying to become a boss?
But why can't the wife take care of everything for me?
Oh ho, the wife exists to take care of all your needs.
That is why we have brought home a wife.
Scriptures have proclaimed that a husband should not exercise any kind of dominance over his wife. You are not the boss. Your marriage is a partnership. In the worldly language, people use the terms husband and wife, or head of the household, that is the husband, implying that the wife is subordinate. Because it is a partnership, you do not have any ownership over your wife. You cannot make demands on her. You have to explain things to her in order to get your work done.
In our wedding ceremony, the bride's parents perform the ritual of kanyadan, that is, kanya, unmarried girl, dan, gift, donation, in which they give the bride as a gift. Does that not make us their owners?
That is not for the civilized community. That is for the uncivilized community. In our civilized community, men should take every care to make sure that the wife does not suffer. Otherwise, they will never be happy. Just as no man has ever been happy by making his wife miserable, no woman who has made the husband miserable has been happy either. It is because of this dominating attitude and feeling of superiority that he gets out of hand, and as a result, he will have to endure the consequences of his actions. It is nothing but suffering. With your wife, you have a partnership, not an ownership.
What about the wife who becomes bossy?
That doesn't matter. She cooks good meals and feeds you. You have to say to her, "Oh my, you cook such wonderful meals for me." That will please her, and then she will calm down. You don't have to be afraid of her. When will she become your superior? When she grows a mustache. Is she ever likely to grow one? Besides, you only have one lifetime worth of accounts to settle. That account is not going to increase. So why not live in a peaceful manner? Hindus by nature are volatile, and that is why it is said that Hindus go through life clashing with others. Muslims, on the other hand, are very insightful. They conduct their fighting outside their homes, but at home, they do not fight with their wives. Nowadays, we see the Muslims behaving like the Hindus, because they have close contact with them. But, compared to the Hindus, I find them wiser in these matters. Some Muslims even pamper their wives by pushing them lovingly as they sit on the swings.
Dada, why don't you tell us more about that incident of that Muslim gentleman and the swing?
Yes. One day, I had gone to visit a Muslim friend. We were sitting on chairs and his wife was sitting on a swing. He got up and started to push the swing for his wife. So I inquired, "Does she not take advantage of you if you pamper her in this way?" He replied, "What advantage is she going to take? She does not have any weapons or anything of that sort." I replied back, "Our Hindu men would never do this because they are scared their wives may start taking advantage of them." He then asked me if I knew the reason why he pushed her on the swing. Between the years of 1943 and 1944, I had a construction contract with the government. We had a Muslim contract laborer by the name of Ahmad Mia. He was our head bricklayer. He had invited me several times to his home. "Sahib, visit my little hut," he would say. Muslim people are soft-spoken and sincere, and although their conduct may or may not correspond, they are pleasant and sincere when they speak. One day he asked me if I would bless him by visiting his home and that it would make his wife and children very happy. I had not yet received Gnan at that time, but my world vision was very elevated. I had compassion for everyone. If I employed someone, my inner intent was to always look out for their welfare. I always wanted people to be free of their miseries and become happy. Such was my intent. I had seen the good qualities of this Muslim community. I agreed to visit him. He told me that he had only one room and was concerned about where we would sit. I told him, "I will sit anywhere. All I need is a chair, and if you don't have any, then I will do without one. But I will definitely come to your home. It is your wish, so I will come." And so I went. Because of my business, I frequently visited Muslim homes. I would also drink tea at their homes. I did not hold any differences. He had only two rooms, one large room and the other as small as a bathroom. When I asked him about the rooms, he replied, "Sir, what can I do? That is more than enough for us poor people." I then asked him where his wife slept. He said, "In this same room. You can call this a bedroom and a dining room. This room is everything." So I asked, "Ahmad Mia, don't you ever fight with your wife?" He was amazed. "What are you asking? That never happens. I'm not a foolish man." "You must have a little discord," I inquired. "Not with my wife," he replied. I went on, "What if your wife gets angry sometimes?" He replied, "I say to her, 'Beloved, outside that boss harasses me, and if you harass me here, what will become of me?' And she in turn calms down." I replied, "Since there is no discord, there is no problem." He then replied by asking me what would happen if there was discord. He asked, "Where would she sleep and where would I sleep? If this home had three levels, then I could go away to the third floor. But here, we both have to sleep in the same room. She faces one wall and I face the other wall. What fun is there in that? The whole night, we would not be able to sleep. And where else would I go? This is why I do not make my wife unhappy at all, even if she were to beat me up. I fight with everyone outside the home, but not with my wife. You cannot do anything to your wife. If I get angry, I go and fight outside, but not at home. Let me offer another example. When Salia's wife, that is a Muslim family, asked him to buy meat, it was a dilemma. Since his wages were very minimal, how could the poor man afford to buy any meat? His wife had been telling him for over a month that their poor children keep asking for mutton. Then, one day the wife gets irritated, so he tells her he will bring some meat that evening. He is always prepared with answers, because if he is not, she continues to nag at him. Upon her irritation, he immediately gave her a positive reply. "I will bring it today. I will bring it from wherever I have to," he said. By saying this, he prevented a quarrel. Thinking that he would bring meat home that day, as he had said, she became furious and started yelling when he walked in empty-handed. Being a tactful man that he is, Salia was able to pacify his wife by saying, "Dear heart, only I know my problems. You would not understand." In the same manner, Salia uttered a few more sentences and turned his wife around. Rather than continuing to yell, she told him that he could bring the meat another time and not worry. After 15 days or so, the same scenario occurred again, and again he pleaded his condition to her, making her happy in the end. By dealing with these situations in such a way, he never has to fight. Hindu men, on the other hand, would say, "You are trying to control me? You cannot say such a thing to your wife. These very words you utter show that you are being controlled. You are being controlled. How can she control you? When even at the time of marriage, your hand was on top of hers, how can she control you? And if sometimes she ever controls you, just remain calm. Only the weak get irritated." In Aurangabad, a Muslim man, about 25 years old, came to my satsang. He had heard from someone that he could receive spiritual knowledge from me. Upon hearing this, he came to listen to the satsang. I talked to him about this world and the soul. I explained the science to him. He liked the scientific approach and felt it was worth listening to. Until now, whatever has been written has been a description of events of the time it was written. However, as the time changes, the description becomes more elaborate. What is the meaning of paigambar? A paigambar is the one who brings God's paigam, that is message, and makes it available for everyone. So, I started to joke with him a little, and I asked him if he was married or just dating. He said he was married. Jokingly, I asked, "When? You didn't invite me?" "Dadaji," he replied, "I didn't know you, or I would have invited you the same day. I have been married only 6 months now." I was just teasing him. I asked him how many times he did namaj, that is the Islamic prayer ritual. "Sir, I do it 5 times, he said. I then asked, "How are you able to do namaz at 3 o'clock in the morning?" He replied, "It has to be done. There is no choice. I have to get up at 3 o'clock and do it also." I asked him if his wife allowed him to do it at 3 o'clock in the morning. He replied, "Even as a young child, I used to do it. My father, the doctor, he too used to do it." So I asked him, "Now that you have a wife, how does she let you do it at 3 o'clock? He replied, "My wife too tells me that I have to do namaz." Then I asked him if he ever quarreled with his wife. He was astonished. "What are you asking? What is this you ask?" "My wife is the sweetness of my life. If she tells me off, I accept it." "Sir, it is because of my wife that I live. She gives me a lot of happiness. She makes wonderful meals and feeds me. How can I hurt her?" Now, if men understood even this much, it would be good. They would not try to dominate the wife. Should they not understand this? Is the wife at fault? Sweetness of my life, even if she curses me, there is no problem. If anyone else was to curse at me, I would sort him out. Now tell me how much these men cherish their wives.